We got an employment story gone wrong today, $60 million wrong. The corporate gym chain Good Life Fitness is being accused of having systematically failed, in quotes, to compensate thousands of employees across Ontario for both work and overtime. The suit's been filed alleging that Good Life failed to appropriately compensate their employees and created what they call an unlawful barrier to payment of overtime. What they basically mean is that people who were working for Good Life, including the chief plaintiff here, Carrie Eklund, would work and do things like try and prospect business in the club, prepare for their training sessions, work they thought was going to be compensated, and in fact, after the fact, they were told, no, we're not going to pay you for that. They were also put in a situation where after 44 hours of overtime, their timesheets were allegedly altered by managers and club administrators, which meant then all of a sudden their extra hours were not counted, I guess, and they weren't given pay for it. So this is a very, very serious allegations. Good Life, of course, is one of probably our, I guess, best known companies. They've got 166 locations in Ontario. You know, like I said earlier, I've been a member of Good Life at one point in my life, and many people, in fact, most people probably travel through that gym at some point trying to get fit. But now it seems these employees are exercising a different kind of option and they are suing. And to talk about this lawsuit, understand it, and what it could mean for other people in a similar situation, we're joined now by Chuck Tahirali. He's the senior human resources consultant at the employment law firm of Samfiru Tumarkin. Hello.
Hi, Tasha. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm fine. I'm not an employee of Good Life, so, you know, but I'm an employee, and this could affect me, too. Tell us the main issues in this case.
Well, I think you captured it beautifully in the sense that what they're alleging, and I do hasten to add that at this point they are allegations only, but what they're alleging is that Good Life essentially created a work environment where employees were either encouraged or required to work hours, I'll say over and above their standard schedule, but discouraged or prohibited, or even, as you've noted, prevented possibly from having those hours reported or properly recorded, and therefore from having those hours properly paid, including overtime hours.
Now, working more than 44 hours a week, it's not something everyone wants to do, but I think most of us have jobs that, or have had a job where you are working those kinds of hours and you do it because you want to get the money. You know, how common is it for companies to stiff people on overtime, but I find it, you know, amazing to think that a company of this size would institute a policy whereby, you know, on a mass scale, people would be denied overtime. This is not a small business we're talking.
Right. And you're hitting on several good points. Let me see if I can address some of them. First of all, you know, I don't have any strong sense as to whether or not there are many employers out there, to use your term, intentionally stiffing employees from receiving overtime. However, what I can reliably report, given my extensive experience dealing with employers over the years, over the decades, in fact, is that overtime and hours of work are issues that employers consistently get wrong.
Huh.
Now, in fairness...
Why is that?
Well, yeah, the reason for that, or at least one of the reasons for that, is that, in a sense, the system is stacked against them, by which I mean the requirements in our employment standards legislation are sufficiently broad, detailed, confusing that, you know, it's very, very difficult to get it right. So a lot of the times what happens is that unintentionally companies misunderstand and or misapply the hours of work and overtime requirements. Now, of course, overtime means extra money in terms of labor costs. And generally, employers are not in favor of that. But, you know, I'll venture to guess that more get it wrong unintentionally than in terms of intentionally trying to stiff employees.
Yeah, and employers also cap overtime. I know my stepson works at McDonald's, and if he could work there you know, 60 hours a week. He would sometimes. He loves his job. It's his first job. He's very excited about it. And he was taking all sorts of extra shifts. And the management actually said to him, you know, you got to stop because we can't pay you for that. We cap our overtime. Is capping overtime, like, what is that? I assume it's legal, but is that a common practice to try and limit the amount of overtime a company has to pay?
Well, you've hit upon two very interesting issues in what you've said, I think. First of all, like your son, there's the issue of what I might call the keen employee, someone who's more than willing to work as many hours as they can be given, happy to get the overtime compensation, happy to volunteer. One point that needs to be made around the keen employee is that, and I'll just generalize and say, the requirements under our law apply equally to employees and employers, and in fact, an employer may be obliged to prevent employees, keen though they may be, from working such hours, especially if they're not prepared, either as a matter of policy or what have you, if they're not prepared to pay. And that's one of the claims, I'll say, in this lawsuit, is that they're saying that GoodLife was under a duty of care to essentially prevent their employees from working these hours if they were not going to be compensated. Now, one other thing inherent in what you just said, Tasha, I think, and it's something very much worth noting, a lot of the text of this claim focuses on a policy and the policies of GoodLife and the fact that under their policies and practices, GoodLife required employees to receive written advance authorization before overtime was worked. And that's going to be a prominent feature of this litigation, I think. And it's worth commenting on because even though it sounds very logical that if an employer has a policy that prevents people from working overtime unless authorized by a supervisor or what have you, logical though that may sound, what I can tell you in no uncertain terms is that's not going to prove to be much of a defense for GoodLife, unfortunately for GoodLife.
Why would it not be? It seems kind of logical.
Why is that? Well, here's why. Buried deep in the dark corners of our employment standards legislation, although noted in this lawsuit, is an interesting provision of our legislation which essentially says, heck, even if you, employer, have a policy that prohibits overtime unless advance authorization is obtained, the law doesn't care. If those hours are worked, if those overtime hours are worked, employer, you're on the hook for paying that overtime. In other words, quite literally, here in Ontario, under our legislative scheme, if an employer does not want overtime to be worked, they literally have to prevent the employees from working the overtime. Once those hours are worked, regardless of any policy that prevents that or requires advance authorization, they're liable for that overtime pay.
That's very interesting. So that keener employee, if he or she sneaks in and works that overtime and can prove it, could theoretically hold the company accountable.
You're absolutely correct.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you very much for clearing that up. Chuck Tahirali, Senior Human Resources Consultant at the employment law firm of Semfirum Tumarkin. Thanks very much, Chuck.
My pleasure, Tasha. Thanks for having me on.
It's a situation that the employees of GoodLife represented in this class action lawsuit, $60 million, are saying they were in, that they worked overtime and weren't paid for it. We'll see what happens with their lawsuit, but we want to hear from you. Are you one of those keener employees? Do you feel you were ever stiffed for overtime? Or are you an employer who had to deal with employees who were claiming overtime after you told them don't work it? How should we manage overtime in the workplace?